Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. I'm not going to get into a long message this morning. I just want to flow with what God's doing, because there's still more that He wants to do this morning. I just believe he wants us to sort of get a couple of things from the Word. First of all, just if you've got your Bible, just turn to Nehemiah for a moment. I'm only going to scoot through a couple of things. He's our hero of faith for this morning. I believe God wants to just so encourage us about who He is in us and who we are in Him. That Nehemiah was just a bloke, a person just like you and me. Sometimes we read the Bible and these are heroes of faith because of the way they live, but they only became a hero of faith because they had a go at living by faith. And this guy, he had a job. He was a cupbearer to a king. That might sound really exalted, but basically he was a servant in the king's palace. That was his job. I don't know whether they had shifts in those days or what, but he was just going about his ordinary, everyday life, doing his job, serving the king. Got up in the morning, ate like we do, slept, hung out with his friends, family, whatever. It doesn't really describe much about him. But one day he heard something. This ordinary guy, just like you and I, just doing very ordinary things in our lives. We go to work, connect with people, have families, friendships. We enjoy life and whatever we're doing. But one day he heard something. And he heard that Jerusalem was in ruins, that the people there were in trouble and disgrace because of the city being overtaken and overrun. And here's this guy who was just going about his normal everyday business, but yet in the middle of that, God sort of stepped in and began to do something in his life and his heart. But he heard something, and then there was a response. And he says in verse 4 that he began to weep. And he put sackcloth and ashes on. We don't need to do that these days. But he put sackcloth and ashes on, and he fasted and prayed. And while he was doing that, God put a burden on his heart. And it was to do something in response to what he'd heard. He'd heard that Jerusalem was in trouble. He'd heard the people weren't doing well. And while he responded, God began to work in him. There's a question I believe God wanted to ask us this morning. Did God choose Nehemiah, or was he simply the one who responded to what he heard? God has already chosen you and me. He's already chosen us to be his children. He's already chosen us to be ambassadors of his kingdom on earth. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That an ambassador can have access to things that others can't. And spiritually, as Christians, as God's ambassadors on earth, we have access to things. We can pray things. We can decree things in line with the Word of God and what He says that can change situations, change circumstances. It can shift things in lives, in our lives, other lives, in people's lives and situations. But the question is, did God choose Nehemiah? Of course He chose him, but He chose him in the same way that He chose us. But did He choose him to restore Jerusalem and turn it around? Or was it that Nehemiah was the one that responded, and while he was responding, praying and taking some time out to fast, that God then put a burden on his heart, spoke to him, then he began to rise up and he said, somebody's got to do something, somebody's got to take some action. I heard a statement many years ago from somebody that spoke here a long time ago. This statement, your availability is God's opportunity to do a miracle. What a brilliant statement. Your availability is God's opportunity to do a miracle. There are miracles that are all around our lives waiting to happen. God is supernatural. He's the God of miracles. He's the God that does supernatural things. We live in very natural bodies, but yet we've been filled with a supernatural God. We have His Holy Spirit on the inside of us, the supernatural Spirit of God, which is pretty awesome. In the natural, there are no miracles possible. We can't heal people. We can't bring freedom. We can't bring life to people. We're just flesh and blood like anybody else. But there's something in this earthen vessel, this jar of clay, as the Bible calls it, that is different than when you don't know God. The Bible says you have this treasure within, this treasure, Jesus Christ. You have the life of God on the inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah just started very simply with his response. It wasn't a reaction, it was a response to hearing that Jerusalem was in trouble, that people were not doing well. And God began to put a burden on his heart, and he began to respond to that. He began to pray. The beginning of his prayer was, first he exalted God, then he said he came to God really to get his heart right, but then he also prayed on behalf of his people and said, God, I want to repent on behalf of them. But then he began to remind God of the promises that God had made over the people of Israel, and he began to remind God. There was a boldness about his prayer, saying, come on, God, you can't leave this how it is at this moment, because you've made some promises, you've given some decrees, you've said some things, and so I'm going to remind you of those things, of what you have said, because I want you to stay true to those things. I want you to come good on the things that you've said. And so there was a boldness that kind of rose up in Nehemiah to begin to remind God. And then as he flowed from there, he then began to pray, and he finished exalting God over the whole situation. And right at the end, he said, God, give me favor and success. Sounds pretty bold, doesn't it? But he said, grant me favor as I go and do what you've put on my heart to do. In verse 14 of chapter 2, Nehemiah said, I had not told anyone what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. He didn't have it in his heart before he began to pray and allow God to do something. He just responded saying, wow, that's not good. The state of Jerusalem, the people, what's going on? And as he began to pray, God began to speak to him. But as he began to respond and he went to Jerusalem, began to look around and see the state of it and what needed to happen. In verse 10 of chapter 2, it talks about two or three people that didn't like what he was going to do. The opposition, if you like, that runs through the whole of this story. And even though this guy's a hero of faith, why is he a hero of faith? Because this story is about constant decisions of faith in the face of constant opposition that comes towards him. It's a story of victory in the face of that opposition. And it says here in verse 10 that these people, Sanballat the Horonite and his mate, whoever that was, I haven't got the scriptures open here, but there were three of them, and it said they were disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the people. See, that's the call of God on the church for the nation. That God has called the church to be here for the welfare of the people. We're not here to judge, condemn, criticize. We're not here to stand on a soapbox and say, we're right, you're wrong, or anything like that. We're here for the welfare of the people, for the good of people's lives. For most of us in the room, God has brought us out of all kinds of stuff that used to be happening in our lives, being forgiven and healed, set free in loads of different ways. Our lives are being restored, transformed. Amazing things that God has done. It's not that we stand better than anybody else, but what we do stand with is a story and a testimony of how good God is. We want to take that story and that testimony to other people. But there was opposition to Nehemiah. But yet in verse 18, he basically, as he gathered the people together to say, come on guys, let's do it, let's build, let's believe, let's take hold of what God says, no matter what the opposition, what happens. It's interesting when you go through this story that every time there was opposition, either these Sanballat and the other guys that came to him with a negative report, or they tried to corner him and get him to, they tried to ambush him in different ways. And every time they came with a negativity, the first thing he did, he went and prayed. It's brilliant. He didn't go to the people and say, hey guys, we've got more negativity, more trouble. The first thing that Nehemiah did, whenever they came against him, he went to the Lord. He said he went and inquired of the Lord, or he said, I prayed. Because he knew that what God had put in front of him, he couldn't do in his own effort or strength. And he knew he needed God. He was going to have to trust in God. He was going to have to rely on God. Even though he had many guys to work with him, and it describes in chapter 4, really 4 and 5, those chapters are the crux of the story, the first part of the story anyway. And it talks about all the families and the peoples that worked in different parts of the walls of Jerusalem, the gates or the walls to rebuild them, and how they walked together. And over 20 times, it says during that part of the story, that they would describe a person and his family or that tribe or that group that were building that gate or that part of the wall. Then it would say, and next to them, then were this people and his family and those people. Then next to them, they were, and all the way along, you kind of get this picture building up that as they're building the walls of Jerusalem, there wasn't just a bunch of people trying desperately to do something, but there was a group building this. Next to them, there was another group. Next to them, there was another group. Next to them, there was another group. And you build up this picture that as the walls go around the city, there's these people that are together in unity, these people that are together, one, with a common purpose to say, we're here to restore the purpose of this city. We're here to restore the security of this place. We're here to restore a place where people can come into the walls of this city and find safety, find water, find food, find shelter, find healing, find provision. And these guys represented, if you like, there were the natural walls, but also the people represented like a spiritual wall that were then standing around the city of Jerusalem as they worked together day and night, but constantly in the face of opposition. As the story unfolds, there were moments when a trumpet blew and all the people gathered. And they gathered together because they needed to pray, because when they gathered, they prayed. When they gathered, they praised God. And when they gathered, Nehemiah would just encourage everybody and bring the word of the Lord to everybody and what they needed to hear at that moment. There was one speech that was a little bit like, who's the Scottish guy on the horse who went to and fro for the, what's it called? Braveheart, that one. I think Braveheart got his speech from Nehemiah. I think he must have read the Old Testament and got his speech, because Nehemiah at one point, said, take heart. He said, remember who the Lord is, the mighty, amazing, wonderful God. Then he says, fight for your brothers, fight for your families, fight for your, all this, that and the other. And you think they nicked that from Nehemiah. They didn't get from that, Nehemiah didn't nick it from Braveheart. But there were those moments where in the middle of the purpose and the call and everything they were doing to rebuild the city, and there was opposition, but in the middle of that, they needed to gather and they needed to hear, come on guys, this is what's, remember who God is. Because stuff happens, doesn't it? Every day of the week, stuff happens. The enemy hates your guts, hates me, hates everybody, wants to steal, kind of destroy, ruin your life, make you kind of doubt, fear, kind of just look at yourself and all of that. And we all know if we all start doing that, we're stuffed. You know, that's why the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, because if we fix them on ourselves, blooming heck, it's hard work, isn't it? But, you know, when the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus, and when you fix your eyes on Him, a constant reminder of, this is who I am, this is who I am in you, this is what it means to live in the goodness of God. Because it doesn't matter how far you get in the Christian faith, how mature you might be, how many years you've been a Christian, you will always have opposition. You'll always have negativity. You'll always have the enemy trying to steal, kill and destroy, undermine, put doubt and fear and cripple and all that kind of stuff in our lives. But yet we have an amazing story from this bloke who was just going around his ordinary everyday business, being a servant, pouring a few bottles of wine here and there for the king to have a nice drink every now and then. And in the middle of that, he heard something. He just simply responded, God, here am I. Just a servant, cupbearer. I don't know if anybody else is responding to you in these circumstances, but I'm here. And God began to put something on his heart. And he began to respond to what he put on his heart. And it's funny often how the person who prays is the one who goes. Some people say, oh, I'm just a prayer. I just pray. Well, you find in the Bible those that prayed went. And often the ones that don't pray, they go, but they might not be that effective. But this guy prayed and he ended up going. Ultimately, what happened, the walls were built in 52 days, even though they had so much opposition from a whole number of people, more than just these three guys who initially opposed them, and they were gathering others to oppose them and come against them, constantly trying to put them off their stride and take them out. There's the micro of our personal lives. We're seeking to walk with God and know God. We're seeking to live in the good of who He is in our lives. We want our families, our friends to be impacted with knowing Jesus, knowing the gospel. We want to make sure that the things around our immediate lives that we're personally responsible for are healthy and doing well and going forward in the things of God. But there's also a macro picture that together we come together to see God impact lives on a bigger scale in the community, across the region, in different ways in society. 52 days, they rebuilt the city walls. Then what they did is they, when you read the rest of the chapters, I love Nehemiah, just what happened, this ordinary everyday bloke. He ends up becoming the governor of the city. He was just a guy who responded to God at the beginning, but yet God did something with his life. They ended up building a wooden platform, and Ezra the prophet was around at the same time as Nehemiah. And they built a platform, and what they were going to do from this platform was read the word of God. And Nehemiah got Ezra in as the prophet, as the man of God, to read the word of the Lord. And the nation, they gathered all the people together for a whole time of listening to the word and responding to God and fasting. And it says different things during these chapters where they came forward and it said they all worshiped, they all bowed down on the ground. Must have been an amazing sight, just the presence of God as they worshiped. And then they read the law or the word, and it says that Ezra read it from morning till night, like all day, read the word, and they listened. And what Nehemiah had in his heart was, as a nation, we need to come back to the things of God. As a people, we need to be restored to the word of God. As a people, we need to come back to what God is saying. We want to live in the good of that and in response to that. And the nation began to turn. Things began to happen. Things started to go well. Things were going good. And then it talks about the end of Nehemiah's life. And at the end of his life, he kind of does a bit of a summary and just reminds everybody what it's all about, what God's done, who he is, and how they need to go forward. And but he noticed, this is right at the end of his life, that on the Sabbath, they were, loads of guys were still bringing in merchandise and things to sell. And in the middle of everything going good and things going well, they began to take their foot off the pedal, foot off the gas, and they began to take things for granted. They began to just go back to maybe the way things were. And he had to gather some guys together. He said, hey, remember before when things went badly, when the place was a mess and a ruin and we were all in trouble and we were in disgrace and it wasn't going well. Remember, we took loads of stuff for granted. Remember, we took our foot off the pedal. Remember, we kind of just took God for granted and what he said, and we ended up in trouble. But yet, over these last few years, God's favor's been upon us. And as we've responded to God, then he's rebuilt the walls. The city's become a city once again. It's a place of safety, a place to live, a place to be whole, a place to raise our families. It's a place of safety. It's a place of increase and prosperity. But yeah, if we begin to take that for granted, then we're going to give room for the enemy to come in and the same thing could happen again. And he reminded them, and they said, hey, come on, guys, we got to just stay sharp. We've got to stay where God wants us to be. And so in the middle of potential compromise and just taking their foot off the gas, they then say, right, let's stop all this trading on Sunday in that situation. I'm not saying something about today, but in that situation, they said, we've got to get back what the Sabbath is and what it represented in that moment. This is God's day, and we need to keep it at that day. But it was bigger than that for Nehemiah. It wasn't just what that represented as a day. It represented who God was in their lives. And he said, we've got to keep God right at the heart, right in the middle, and everything's got to flow from there. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Father, we come before you this morning in the same way that these people, that Nehemiah and the others that built the city walls, they were your people. In the same way, we stand here as your people. Father, I thank you that you have already chosen us, called us by name. I don't know in your life what you're running with, what's on your heart, what your passion is in terms of the kingdom. What's in your heart about the kingdom? What do you think about? What do you want to see happen? What goes on in your life daily when you think about God, when you think about what he's doing, when you think about the church, when you think about the community, the town, the region, the nation, when you think about kingdom stuff, what's going on in you? What do you want to see? What have you heard? Have you heard that things are not maybe going as well in the nation as they could be? Have you heard that there are lives that are maybe not going as well as they could be? Have you heard that there is a lot of family breakdown in our nation? Have you heard that there's a lot of sickness? Have you heard that if we use the Bible here, there's lots of trouble going on? Have you heard? When Nehemiah heard, he got before God and said, God, this isn't right. And God put something in his heart as to what his part was in God's purposes. What have you heard? What are you living with? Have you got before God at all to say, Father, I've heard many things. I've heard lots of stuff. Yes, there's some good things happening. Yes, the church is on the rise in different ways around the nation. There's a lot more happening in many communities around the country where the church is out in the community serving and loving and meeting needs and doing all kinds of things. But we know there's so much more. But for the micro of our lives, like Nehemiah, the micro of his response turned into quite a macro effect. Just believe God's encouraging us this morning. What's the heart and passion that he's put in our lives? Maybe if we don't know, it's like maybe we need to get before God in these coming days. Say, God, I've heard many things. I've heard lots of stuff. I hear the news every day. I read the paper. I look on the web and look at newsreels and all sorts of stuff. I get Twitter feeds or whatever you've got on your phone that you look up what's going on, what's happening. We hear a lot just because we get bombarded with a lot. But in the middle of that, what have we heard from God? What is resounding on the inside of our lives? What is the burden that's in your life, that's on your life? What's the burden that's in and on our life as a church? What do we live with and run with as a people? As we respond to God, it's something that then grows, something that grows, something that grows, and something that gets a hold of us. It's, at the end of the day, it's people's lives. It's not a cause, it's not just a project, it's people's lives. Whatever circumstance they're in, no matter what need they might be in, no matter what's happened to them, it's people's lives. Our personal response today. God, I've heard many things. Some of you might know what your heart and passion is. You're already running with it, living with it. It fills your heart and your mind. You think about it, you pray into it, you act upon it. There's others maybe, well, I'm not sure, I don't know. Just believe that in these days, God is wanting to put things in each one of us. As we heard from Nehemiah, he said, I hadn't told anybody what God had put in my heart to do. Father, I ask you that you would put in every one of our hearts what you want us to do, because it's what you want to do through our lives. I thank you for a burden as we come before you. Thank you. You might be speaking to people now. For some, you're just crystallizing what is already there. Maybe some haven't responded to what you've already been saying, or they've got an idea, but maybe it's not really forming very much. And you want people to just take a bit of time to listen to you and take some time just to write some things down and respond to what you're saying, and just to get a bit more of a sense of this is what God is saying to me. This is what he's put in my heart. This is what I want to do as a response. Because that leads to the macro of how we move together as a people, as a church. just believe God's saying to some this morning, don't say about yourself, well, I'm just a this person, or I'm just a that person. God doesn't measure who you are by how clever you are, what kind of job you have, what kind of natural skills and gifts and possibilities you have. God will work in and through all of those things as part of His purposes, because He places and positions all of us just in life in different ways to reach people, to bless people, to be His hands and His feet and His voice and His heart into people's lives. But God doesn't measure you by natural things. He puts His heart in us. And no matter who we are, faith is faith. So maybe just bring yourself before the Lord this morning. Father, I just surrender and submit afresh to You today on the 7th of July. I think it's the 7th, 6th, or wherever it is. Father, I just surrender on the 6th of July 2014 afresh to You. Thank You that my life is not my own, it belongs to You. I've heard many things, but I want to hear from You. Thank You begin to put a burden on my heart for what is on Your heart. And as you respond to that burden, as you respond to what God says, in the same way with Nehemiah, God's favor went before him and began to open up things. The same way when we respond to God, the favor of God goes before us to begin to walk into the things that He said. Just believe that earlier on when we had communion, God was kind of saying, hey guys, I'm the Lord of your life personally. I can, as you lay stuff before my feet, I can deal with this stuff. I can move in those situations. I can bring freedom, life, liberty. I can bring health and restoration. I can restore your family. I can restore your body. You can live in freedom and life. It's so that we don't have to concentrate on what's happening here or what's happening immediately, but it's actually God. And concentrate on what you want to do, the bigger picture, as well as what's happening in the micro. Father, we thank You. We praise Your name. We thank You, Jesus. Just believe that a number of people from this morning will need to just go from today and just get before God and literally say, Father, I've heard many things that are going on, but I want to hear from You. What do You want to put in my heart? Do You want me to begin to live with, think about, pray into, and then respond, put some action to it? Because we're doers of the word, not just hearers. And as you respond to God and to what He says to you, that's how you grow and mature. Well, it's part of you growing and maturing as a believer, as you respond and act in relation to what He says. You have to put your faith to work. You put it into action. Those of you in leadership in the church, you're leading small groups, and you might want to help others activate what is already in other people. You might have people in your small group that have a heart for things. Maybe you could just, over the next few weeks, hey, what's on your heart? What you're running with? What really fuels you? What have you got a passion for? Maybe you'll know that for some, maybe not for others. We want to help one another plug into that heart and passion, what God has put on the inside of us, because God's heart burns for people. He has a passion for people. He has a passion for you and I. He has a passion for those that don't know Him. He has a passion that all would come to know Him. It's like, Father, just work in me. Do what You need to do in me to download Your heart in me in a fresh way.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.